What up, EuroLeague fans? Welcome to another episode of A Quarter with Kyle Harris. Today, we have a very special episode. We have a couple movie stars or feature stars, including myself, on today's episode. Today with me, we have from Monaco, Dantas Manouyounis, and from Olympiacos, Shaq McKissick. Both of all of us are featured on the recent release documentary or docuseries, if you want to call it, Overseas. Guys, what's up, man? Thank you guys for taking a part and being in the quarter with me.
Of course. Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure.
First off, my first question is, you know, all of us have, you know, kind of a similar experience, you know, going through this documentary or this filming process. You know, what were your first thoughts when EuroLeague approached you guys about being a part of this whole process?
For me, I was excited because the company that was a part of the docuseries, it made it feel like it was a big deal. You know, we got Demo, we got Kyle. So I was like, man, to even be on a platform with these type of guys, for me, it meant everything. And once the guys flew out and started recording, I think I kind of finally realized how big of a deal it was about to be. And not to say like I brushed it off, but it was just like... I was like, man, they really pulling out all the stops for this one. You know, my wife was ready, but for me, I was a little bit timid at times, but it ended up working out, and it was a blast.
Yeah, for me, right away, I was really excited because I always wanted to give as much as possible experience that I really collect through my career and use it for good, you know, for maybe for future players that are going to come to the EuroLeague and overall to Europe. So I felt like this is going to be a perfect moment for me to share my experience, share my thoughts about, you know, it's not easy to leave your home place where you're born, sure. You're living all your life to move to different part of the world and try to make a home out of it. So I think the tips, I'm pretty sure, guys, that you shared and I shared, I think is going to be very useful for younger guys, younger generations, and younger EuroLeague players, how to adapt, adjust. Like I said, I think this is amazing thing to have this type of series, and I really hope it's gonna keep on growing and gonna continue to develop.
Now, Shaq, you touched on it a little bit, but everybody I talked to, they said the real stars of the show weren't us; it was our wives and our girlfriends. And you know, when I approached my wife, she was all for it; like she was ready. Like she was like, "Yeah, tell them to come shoot on this day. Tell them to come shoot on this day." Like she was all ready. She had the outfits, everything already planned out. So when you talk to, you know, your girlfriend or your wives, you know, how do they feel about it?
I think we'll be nominated for best supporting actors because, you know, they stepped up and showed out. It's like they've been waiting for this moment, like, you know, this fairy tale in their minds, and it just came true. And I was like, man, dang, that's crazy. But yeah, man, my wife was super excited. Even my family back in the States, they were super excited. You know, as Demo said, for our journeys to be documented in the way that they were, was a real beautiful thing. And it was real and it was raw and it was authentic. And, you know, I think our significant others often have gripes, but, you know, I think at the same time, you know, it's amazing opportunity for all of us involved to be playing in the league like this. So again, for that to be documented, it was truly one of a kind.
What about you, Demo? How does your girlfriend feel?
Man, my girl, she's a basketball geek, so probably same like your wife, man. Like she was more ready than I was. Like, I was thinking like what I should say, you know, what knowledge that I should share, and she was like, "Hey, you're gonna wear this. We're gonna do this." I was like, "What is gonna who's gonna, you know, Sunday in Monaco? Not a lot of places are open." She's like, "Don't worry, I'm gonna find all the places, everything, you know." She was definitely more ready than I was, and but like I said, it's nice, like that support, you know, guys. Without that support, it's really miserable to live alone on a place that you don't know where you're at, you know. So that support, that readiness, I think it comes not only for this series, but it comes for all our careers, you know, all our lives overseas. So that's a huge thing for me, at least.
So we got to give her credit for the Louis Vuitton bucket hat that you were wearing. That's it.
Definitely. Yes. She's a model, so she sets up all the outfits. So if you want to tease me, you don't tease me. You're teasing her.
It was I thought it was fly. I was like, man, I should have. If I knew he was going to put the bucket hat on with the Louis Vuitton, I would have thrown something different.
Yeah, that's a fact. And Kyle, at the game when you guys came to play us here in Athens, your parents met my wife. I believe at the game, and that just made her night that she was recognized. She was like, oh my God, you know, Kyle's mom is so sweet. And she was like, she had me laughing and cracking up. So that made her night for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, our significant others are, I mean, they're kind of already part of this, you know, kind of club and it's, you know, together. So, you know, they don't know each other. They all automatically already know each other through, like, you know, the same network. So, you know, from my parents and, you know, my wife, like, she was excited just to kind of be a part of, you know, and have opportunity for her side of the story to be told. Because a lot of times, like you said, you know, we're always the protagonist. Everybody's always talking about us. But, you know, really, they're kind of the, like you talked about before, Demo, like, they're really the main factors, kind of the main stars in our lives. And they're the reason why we're able to kind of, you know, play the way we play and be able to operate where we operate. So I was really happy that, you know, that they were able to get featured, they were able to really get shown, and you know, hopefully, like I said, I mean, I think it was really cool for that aspect of it all. Now I want to ask, you know, part of this is, like, you know, showing our private lives. You know, we kind of had to get a little bit vulnerable. You know, I know, you know, it was a little bit strange last game we played. You know, I'm sitting there warming up, and, you know, they're showing the preview when the Jumbotron, and then they have you know my wife giving birth to my son, you know, in front of, like, you know, 15,000-16,000 people before we played. I'm just like, it's a little bit, you know, strange, you know, kind of like showing that vulnerability, you know, that kind of that private life. So, like, did you guys, you know, question, you know, or were you a little bit nervous about, you know, really getting, you know, really deep into, you know, some of your stories or showing kind of a different side that maybe, you know, the average fan or average person really doesn't know about?
You know, I got a lot of people in my life, and I have a lot of stories that I feel like were a true testament to me getting to where I am now. So I wouldn't say I was, like, waiting for this my whole life, because I've done other things and, you know, other articles, other documentaries. But for me, it was the perfect stage, and it was the right questions asked. And it just, I feel like the guys did a real good job at interviewing us and making us feel comfortable to get that out of all of us. But for me, it for sure was a lot of vulnerability that was being shown, and it felt invasive at times, but I feel like it was for a greater cause. So I didn't really feel any type of way about it. But to your point, like, when it plays on the Jumbotron above me and I see myself or hear myself talking, first I see Demo and I'm like, oh, here we go. And I just, you know, try to lock in. I just block it out.
I mean, from my side, I think it's kind of nice, you know, a lot of fans coming to the gym to support us, to cheer for us, and for them to see that we're just regular people, you know, to show that vulnerable side from our side, you know, that we're simple people too. I think it actually allows us to connect even more with them than just be like that regular basketball player who's just, like, you know, don't, like, pretty much, like, after a game sits in the car, just goes home, and no one sees him. No, he doesn't talk to no one, you know, he doesn't sign, he doesn't take pictures. There are guys like this, you know. Everyone chooses how they want to be viewed and how they want to interact with the fans. But I think this is also, from my side, it's going to be a really big thing for our fans to see that vulnerable side.
Yeah, I agree absolutely. Now, was there anybody, any fans or your family members, even your teammates that, you know, that came up to you and was like, that have watched it, that have seen it, you know, that were surprised, you know, about, you know, things they didn't know about you, things about your story, thinking about your past? Like, even for me, like, my coach came up to me, he was like, do you really get up at 6:30 in the morning every morning? I was like, yeah, like, you know, like, I enjoy, you know, waking up in the morning, be with my kids and stuff like that. He was like, nah, he's like, I didn't. And when I seen it, I didn't believe it. I was like, no, like, I really do it. That's really a part of my day. Like, that's how any other, you know, get your kids ready for school and you go. But was there any of, like, your teammates or your coaches or somebody that, like, you know, came up to you and was, like, really surprised about your story or about your background or about, you know, something that they seen in this documentary?
Well, not for me per se, because, I mean, a lot of my teammates, especially my coaches, they know a lot about, like, my background and history and stuff like that. But yeah. I guess it was a few parts. But for me, like, when they come around and they bring it up, I get shy. So I'm just like, I just like, whatever. And I just kind of walk away and drop it because I'm just like, man, I know that you've seen it. We don't have to do this right now. Just with my teammates, I'm like that, though. It's weird, man.
Yeah, it was more or less the same with me. You know, some guys tried to tease me, you know, how it is. We have very interesting guys in our team. So everyone tried to joke with everyone, you know, you just slip and someone's going to try to tease you, you know? Yeah. But actually from the fan side, like I received a couple of messages, you know, who saw it and, you know, the feedback was amazing. Everyone said that, you know, this was one of the best things that was filmed in recent years and with the EuroLeague and then overall around sports in Europe, you know? So I think it's really inspiring that you know, we're capable to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to get into specific moments, you know, about the documentary that each of us kind of went through. Demo, I want to talk to you about, you know, having the Final Four played in your home country and the type of feeling that we were able to see, you know, having your family, your friends, and people that have been there for a long time, you know, even despite the result. But what was that feeling like to have the Final Four at home and to have it in front of your family and friends?
So, you know, from the side of the Final Four in my hometown, I think it was amazing. It was one of the nicest events I've seen, I've been into as a basketball player. So, you know, I think the gym is amazing. It was really prepared well, and the city was prepared well. So whoever I talk to right now after, you know, a year almost passed, everyone is answering that, you know, it was like amazing experience, amazing food, amazing people. So everyone is super happy. So I'm really happy that, you know, my kind of city represent, you know, represent well, did well in this event. Personally, for me, I hated it.
Oh my God. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
You know, and I will tell you, it's really not enough talking about like, okay, family is there, friends are there. So, you know, those guys kind of get it, you know, okay, Final Four, I turned off my phone. I said, listen, I'm getting off the Instagram, I'm getting off everything. I cannot deal with this. But also in the same time was my teammates, you know, like after every day, like everyone's like, okay, where we can eat, where we can eat. And, you know, like I give them like a list of the places and, you know, 10, 15 minutes comes by, someone comes and he's like, okay, listen. I called them. They say you have no spots. Can you call them? I said, why? He's like, well, because if you call, they're going to find a spot. I mean, it's partially true, but in the same time, you know, like in some days I would spend like a couple of hours on the phone trying to organize someone dinner or someone wants to go somewhere, you know. So that side really, really, really sucked, you know. It was like I couldn't get like the time off, you know, like from organizational part of view, but.
You became like the unofficial tour guide or host, you know.
I definitely was. From basketball side, I think it was beautiful. I think, sorry for Shaq. I mean, I really cheer for y'all. I really cheer for y'all. You know,
thank you guys.
A lot of players that played that play with, you know, Sip and also Pops and all other guys. You know, like I played with them through my career since I'm a kid and. I really were supporting y'all and I was feeling bad for you losing like that. So
that's the beauty and the curse of the Final Four. It's like, you know, it's just the beautiful part of it, you know, once you get there, but you only walk away with one winner. So that's the part. I've been through both sides too many times. Yeah. So I can understand, you know, the how it feels. But Shaq, I want to talk to you about, you know, a part that really kind of stuck out to me, you know, while you were filming or doing your part. It was when you called your sister and you had told her that you had just, you know, signed your contract extension to Olympiacos. You know, so talk about that moment and, you know, not only, you know, what it meant to you, but what also what it meant to your family.
For me, I think everybody knows, like, how much I love being here in Athens. And Kyle, you've had, the pleasure of also playing for Olympiacos, but it was big time, like, to come from where I come from to coming over here in the first 3 to 4 years I'm playing professionally. I don't even know what EuroLeague is. Like, I know that it's a league, but, you know, this is 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Then to be put on game through a few of my teammates and then just to realize, okay, this is the top level. This is where I want to be. And it felt like the moment that I stopped striving to get here was the moment everything clicked. And to have the pleasure to play somewhere that you're this comfortable, I think is real far and few, you know, in between for a lot of players. Like, I've seen a lot of guys come and go, and no knock to them or any of that. I just didn't want my career to be that way as far as, like, having to move. Mm-hmm. But when you play in a place like Athens, to me, it's like, it's my number one destination. Like, I also love Istanbul and, you know, love playing in Turkey as well. But for me, my family loves it. My wife loves it. You know, it's very easy for us. It's super laid back. So to get those, you know, 2 extra years, you know, I'm going to be trying the same thing next season, you know, hopefully just be able to finish it out here.
Yeah, I mean, we all know, too, like, it's not easy to find a home in Europe. You know, we've had teammates or players that have played on, you know, maybe play 10 years and play 10 different teams. So, you know, speak a little bit about, you know, Shaq, about, you know, Athens becoming not only your home, but your family's home. And also, I think a part that people don't always see overseas or don't always understand overseas is not just an opportunity for us, but it's an opportunity for our extended family, too, to come and visit, you know, to really feel a part.
You know, like, with the whole rivalry thing over here, like, the first game that I ever played, it was right before COVID, and it was almost just like it was written in the stars, you know, from having that big game. And the way that the culture, the fans, both on both sides, you know, Panna side, Oli side, all embraced me, embraced my family. It's not something that I was able to feel anywhere else in the short, you know, in the few places that I played. So to play in a country that loves hoop, loves basketball, loves competition, for me, it's a no-brainer. It's where I feel comfortable. It also, you know, it's very easy for my family from the States to travel in and out of. You know, we don't have to worry about too much visas and paperwork and stuff like that. And, you know, growing up in America, Athens or Greece is just everybody's kind of like top destination of like fairy tale vacations. And then they get here and it's like, yeah, it's dope, but it's not the islands, you know? So it's like, you know, the distinct difference between Athens and the islands. Yeah. You know, we can only do so much here. We can have an amazing time, but we got to cap it off, you know, at some point.
Demo, you played all over the world. You played on the highest levels, you know, everywhere, just about. So talk about, you know, what being in Monaco, you know, means to you, you know, going there. And I know that Monaco was kind of like, you guess you say is a, I don't want to say expansion team in EuroLeague, but they are a fairly new team, you know, in EuroLeague, and you've been a part of like building that core, building that culture. So talk about like, you know, what does it mean for you to be in Monaco, and what has it been like?
For me, it's like living in a dream, you know. It's every morning you wake up and it's hard to process it, how beautiful this place is, you know. It's been 3 years right now, and every morning me and my girl, we go to the city, you know, we stand in the parking lot, which overviews the city, and I'm like, I cannot believe we're living in here. Like, it's for 3 years right now, and every day I say the same thing, you know, like, this place is amazing, you know. And when I arrived, it was interesting because when I signed with Monaco, to be honest, we had at a moment maybe 7 or 8 players signed.
Mm-hmm.
So when I arrived, I knew, you know, it's a new team coming from the Euro Cup. But I was like, man, what are we going to do? 7 players, it's September, you know, like people are already, teams are already set up. Like, what's going to happen? And then, you know, our president really put a lot of work in the market to sign the new guys. You know, Mike James came, Will Thomas came. Other guys joined, you know, and then suddenly we start having a team, you know. And so for first year to make playoffs, you, Kyle, know yourself, you know, sometimes it's so difficult to pass that
absolutely
that line, you know. Like, to make a playoffs is a huge thing, and you know, for some of the guys that I'm look around, like, they don't realize how difficult it is. And then, you know, of course, next year you make Final Four, so the ambitions are growing. But at the same time, you have to be logical. You know, it's really difficult. EuroLeague, it's difficult league. You know, same like NBA. To win EuroLeague, I think, is one of the hardest things to do. And hat off to all the guys that won it, because I think it's a hell of a job to go all the way to the top. And so, yeah, you know, like I said, I'm living, it's speechless. The views. Also, the people, the support we get from local people, it's amazing. To be honest, right now is the probably most beautiful time for me, because there's no tourists around.
Yeah.
So you walk around the city.
Nice.
at his own locals, you know, and like almost every second, third person like recognizes you, you know, says a couple of words to you, doesn't bother you, but like, you know, in a nice way, shows that they support you. You know, we just beat last week Real Madrid. So right now you walk across, like around Monaco to the streets of Monaco, and everyone is like, hey, good job here, you know, last week, great, keep it up, you know. So it's really a great feeling, you know.
You talked about also in the documentary about, you know, when you were at Treviso, and you talked about like having that veteran, you know, those veteran guys that kind of, you know, pulled you along and kind of, you know, made you kind of, you know, get straight and, you know, I guess you could say, you know, kind of gave you some act right, is what we kind of say, you know. So now as you're older and you're the veteran on the group, and you just talked about like, you know, some of the guys on the team, you know, they you guys got to the playoffs, you got to the Final Four. And, you know, you have a lot of younger guys on your team, a lot of guys that experienced this for the first time. You know, so how do you see kind of like, you know, life kind of coming full circle where, you know, when you were in Treviso, you know, you were that young guy, but now all of a sudden in Monaco, you're that veteran presence. Like, how has that kind of like, you know, changed for you, and how have you become that veteran, you know, for the guys in the Monaco locker room?
Yeah, the life goes fast. I can tell you this. You know, like I look around the locker room right now and I'm like, man, like how did I end up here? You know, it seems just yesterday I was making fun out of the Massimo Bulleri. Me and Alessandro Gentile were making fun out of Massimo Bulleri. Now the young kids making fun out of me. You know?
That's how I feel.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean... It's tough, you know, it's tough job also, you know, the generational change. I think the way the older players were treating me and talking to me and then, you know, pushing me, it's not really working right now with this new generation, younger generation, I would say. But at the same time, you know, right now, our job as a vets is to push them and try to make sure they understand how important it is to get ready, you know, for practice. I wake up early, do your job, you know, like there's so many things in basketball that like, you know, once you get to the final four, it seems like, okay, we're in final four. And it actually happened for us this year. We start pretty bad this year due to the, I think, not concentrated and not understanding that there is a mountain to climb another year. So those things are like, I think, are on our shoulders as a vets to kind of guide the young guys to make them understand that, hey, like as soon as August comes, the new season starts, preparation starts, everything starts from zero. And, you know, I think this is really tough for younger players to understand. At least it was tough for me to understand.
Yeah, but I think so too. I mean, I'm going through that now. You know, I'm suddenly the old guy, the old vet, not only in the league, but also in the locker room. You know, when guys is making fun of my age and I'm looking on the scouting report and we're playing against guys that were born in 2002, 2003. Yeah. And
heartbreaking.
I was like, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy how, like you said, how time flies. But I mean, that's the beauty of the sport, right? You know, this sport is a forever, you know, forever cycle. And, you know, I mean, as long as you're able to be a part of it, you're able to experience, you know, some beautiful things and some beautiful memories. Before we go, I know like you guys got practice and we got important games coming up. I want to get back to the documentary, you know, overseas. And first of all, would you guys, if there was an opportunity, would you guys do a season two?
I would do a what's it called? Like where the whole year where they just come to stay out here and just document everything. Nah, man, it was dope, and I would love to do a season two after, you know, being able to watch everything back and look at everything and kind of fix, you know, some things. You know, I think it's, you know, I'm like, okay,
we gotta make sure we got the app.
gotta come with the drip for sure.
Yeah, man.
but it was an amazing experience. To be honest, like it wasn't a burden at all. It was quite fun.
I know for sure who would love to do the season and like Shaq said, the whole year, our wives and girlfriends, man.
The real housewives of EuroLeague. We just get cameos.
Let's not give ideas.
Somebody in the background like this right now.
Yeah.
Sitting on a gold
bar.
Yeah,
but for sure, no question. Like I said, yeah, from my side, for sure, I would agree. Like I said, more we can... pass on to the younger generation, I think better is going to be and easier is going to be for younger players to be where we at.
All right, guys, man, I appreciate you taking the time. You know, to all the EuroLeague fans out there, make sure you check out us three. won the overseas documentary by EuroLeague. If you haven't seen it, I mean, it's absolutely, we talked about it today. It's absolutely a great opportunity for you to learn not only about us, but also learn about, you know, overseas experiences. And it also let us know how you guys like it. You know, tap in with us on Instagram or just through, you know, however, to let us know, you know, about the documentary. So check it out. Guys, man, I appreciate you guys. I thank you for taking the time. I know you guys are busy with your schedules every day and practices and hopefully getting to another Final Four. Good luck the rest of the way. And
I'll
see you guys very soon. EuroLeague fans, that's it for this episode of A Quarter with Kyle Hines. Take care. We'll see you soon.